It was lovely to hear the buzz of conversation going on in all of those groups as people reflected on the past year. And just looking up on the sheets, there's a lot we have to give thanks to the Lord for. We don't want to sort of pat ourselves on the back and go, well, aren't we good? But we've got so much to thank him for. But we want to recognize there's a long way to go. And there's lots of ways in which we'll need to change, because that's just what happens over time as we grow in numbers, as the situation changes. We need to be ready to change. And so people are having some great ideas on things that we could do more of, things that we could do differently. And that is absolutely right. We don't want to just get stuck in a pattern of doing things. And we don't want to be blind to new opportunities to do new things. We don't just want to go, this is how we've always done things, this is how we're always going to do things, because that'll be death. Let me just read out some of the highlights. I'm trying to see where my small group is. We've gone. Oh, there we are. It's just Joe at the back. Yeah. Oh, there. Okay. We're sitting in the middle there. Great. Brilliant. Just some of the things that people mention for thanks. And as I said, we'll sort of type it all up into one thing so we can get a feel for the big picture. But people were giving thanks for the kind of commitments they've seen in their children. We're giving thanks for people who've become new Christians. That was on the commitment, on the community. This isn't everything that's on the sheet. They're just some of the things I was able to scribble down. Lots of thanks for the small groups and the kind of difference that is making to people's lives in terms of living out what they're learning on a Sunday. Lots of people saying thank you for the prayer cards, because it's really helping people to pray. Lots of thanks for friendships across the ages and stages, getting to know people from sort of just different moment in life, and therefore building that sort of a community. Thanks for the way people, when a need is made known, people are very quick to meet it. Where are all these people here? What have we done to them all? Are they sliding down the slide in the bouncy castle? Spec so. Yeah, it's Jim Wolford. Sliding down the slide on the bouncy castle. Lovely to see you. Come right on in. And maturity, again, people were giving thanks for really starting to apply God's word into their lives rather than just sort of file it. People giving thanks for lots of opportunities to serve and take responsibility. And again, people grateful for the friendship of older Christians. Mission, people giving thanks that we have begun to get these community action projects going. Thanks for the Bristol Film Club. Thanks for this whole idea of social catalysts and people getting their friends to meet their Christian friends. So lots to give thanks for, but we want to keep growing and learning. So let me just write, sorry, I've written this so badly I can hardly read it. Oh yeah, under commitment, people were saying do more, do differently. Some people were saying we want to make sure we listen to the sermons we missed, because they're up on the website, and that's part of taking seriously the fact we want to be a listening community. If you miss a sermon, you can still listen to it. People were saying let's make sure there are more prayer triplets, so more people are helping each other to depend on the Lord. That's under commitment. Under community, things to keep working at. The tea time, people suggesting we should really work hard at making sure people sit down at tables for tea rather than do that kind of cocktail party thing at the back. It's very hard to be in a cocktail party situation because you're standing there all kind of awkwardly. We do want to think of ways we can get people sitting down. People saying, let's keep the service fresh. Don't get stuck in a rut. Keep thinking of accessibility to outsiders. I think that's very important and very right. In terms of community, let's keep working integrating newcomers. And a note of caution, not so much a do more, in fact it's a kind of do less, which is careful that people don't feel burdened, because when we say here's a need that needs meeting or here's an opportunity to do something, not everyone can do everything. And I think we've got to work hard at making sure not everyone feels, oh, another thing I can sign up for, another thing I can do. No, we've all got different gifts, and as long as between us all we are covering the things Christ calls us to do. That's how bodies work. We can't all be a kneecap. So when a plea comes through on an email or a notice, we mustn't all think, oh, I've got to add that already to the list of things I'm doing already. We can't all do everything, but probably need to be better at communicating that. Maturity, just one idea that I noticed was to rethink the question time. There was one plea to bring back the hat, because as we get a bit bigger, it's sometimes more intimidating to ask questions. are the same sort of people asking questions. Let's rethink that a little bit. That's a good idea. And a thing on mission, do more of, let's reach out more. In other words, go. At the moment, we're quite sort of attractional. People come to us on a Sunday. We bring friends along, which is important. But we've got to the stage now, I think we need to be working at going out. And people have said things like, you know, could there be kids clubs during the week? Are we reaching non-Christian husbands? Are we reaching out to international students? These are all brilliant ideas, and we need to keep brewing on them together. We must never just say, we are fixed, we've sorted everything. That is death. So thank you very much for those. And keep them coming in if you think of something on the way home, as it were. And don't forget question time later on. For now, everyone, has everyone got sight of a little A5 sheet that says along the top, to grow a church that grows more churches to the glory of God? Has everyone got sight of one of those? If you've not, I've got a pile at the front. Stupidly large pile at the front, actually. Pressed the wrong button on the photocopier. No, okay. Here is something of a direction of travel for the next year. Let me just talk it through. The bottom line is, for the next year, we're going to go on taking in and living out the good news of Christ. That's what we keep doing. That's why church is not complicated. That's all we've got to do. But there are some particular sort of things we're going to work on, a particular kind of foci of that. Passion for Life. Next Easter, there is a nationwide series of events, a kind of mission that churches are organizing called Passion for Life. And the idea is that the kind of events they organize are not big, we're going to hire the Colston Hall events. But the kind of events you can keep doing, so low-key relational events. And we're going to use that as a focus, and we've started that already a little bit. We want to say each month, we want at least one sort of social catalyst event, because we don't want to arrive in next Easter and go, oh, we've got all these events happening in pubs and in people's houses and brilliant, these talks, but we don't know anyone to invite. We want to make sure we don't grab strangers. We want to make sure we've got friends who by next Easter are already going, what is it with you people? What is the reason for the hope you have? What makes you tick? Tell me more about this Jesus. So that we're ready to very naturally say, well, come along to this thing. You know, we've been going to film clubs once a month for the last year or so. Well, you know, during that week, we can have a very particular film that will ask very particular questions. There might even be a talk after, something like that. So it's the natural outworking of what we're already doing. So we're going to spend time doing social catalyst events together, because evangelism is not a lone project. My friends who are not Christians need to meet my Christian friends. We'll make the most of Christmas. Maybe after Christmas we'll do more SCEs, social catalyst events. And it'd be lovely to see some more Christianity explored, whether it's a central organized thing or just more in homes, or in places of work, as has already happened, or we hire a cafe. Just a little bit of that, as we get people who are ready for it. We don't just want to lay it on and say, that's our evangelism done, we do Christianity Explored every year. But as there are people ready for it, we need to be ready to put it on. Then there'll be the Passion for Life events, and then we'll think, well, what are the next steps for those people who've come along? I think that'll be a major sort of strand of the next year. What we also need to do each year is, you can't put everything under the spotlight each year, but there are certain areas of church's life we need to put under the spotlight. So this is the year where we're going to really make sure we've had another look at this. So brilliant that we've started with these community action projects. So we need to go from sign up to start up and get that going this year. Mission partners, we've been praying for people like the Kittos, but we really need to gather a team to lead us in that and cement those partnerships. And that'll be the sort of task from June onwards. Youth work, I think it's time to put that under the microscope or the spotlight, because there'll be a lot of children coming through into the youth group in the not-so-distant future. And we just want to build on the foundations that have been wonderfully laid by Jim and Helen Heim and their team, people like Becky Irvin and Sims and the Milnes, who right at the beginning were the sort of pioneers of a youth work that didn't really exist. But they got a little group together and they've laid fantastic foundations. And now they've handed on the baton to Mike and Rosie Sims, who are going to lead us on with that. And what we're praying is that this phrase here, they keep the youth group growing into the church family, so they're not an isolated little group, they're part of the wider family, and growing out into the world, so they're starting to bring their friends along and grow in that sort of way. But I think that's an area of our life together we can give thanks for, but we'll need to really attend to in the next year. The whole business of the second pastor, in sort of end of May, June, we'll need to make the appointment. I'll share more news about that later this afternoon. And the whole idea of a second pastor is not to take ministry off people, but to equip people for ministry. So we'll be able to do more if we've got someone who is training us and equipping us to do more. Grow existing ministry, ready to start things like midweek outreach and so on until we're ready to plant. If we don't grow mature leaders, we'll never be ready to plant. Or if we do plant, it'll be a disaster. We need to be thinking about leaders, appointing and preparing for the autumn, not just sort of assuming that everyone's going to stay in the roles they're doing. We need to be equipping up more, ready for the autumn. The whole business of the venue, we'll be deciding on that. So again, talk about that some more later on. We'll need to spend the summer, once we've landed on it, preparing for that move. Because there'll be all kinds of practical things we'll need to attend to. And there'll be challenges, but there'll be great opportunities. Because a new venue means we can do new things. And I think it'll be a great chance when you start a new venue. It's another chance to invite friends along. Say, hey, we're starting new again. You know, we used to meet in that school. We're now in this other place. Well, come along, check us out. Midweek, well, over the end of the summer and during the autumn, we want to go on researching midweek venues to reach out. Maybe something in the city centre. Maybe someone said earlier in the feedback, we're quite attractional in the way we do mission. We need to be going outonal. That's a word. No, it's not, is it? And one of the things we've always talked about is setting up, you know, little congregations in somewhere like the city centre. Is that a lunchtime thing in the city centre? I've been kind of walking around the city centre at lunchtime trying to work out where people hang out. We need to do more of that. We've been talking to the diocese about the opportunities there. Is it that we do something on the downs? You know, is it barbecues on a Wednesday night? Well, we begin to kind of connect with people there. Don't know, but we in the autumn, we'll start working away at that. And then ultimately, we're working towards planting another church. Of course we are. Because Jesus is Lord, which means everyone needs to know. We'll never go, yeah, we're about, you know, that's about right now. We're good, thanks. We'll always want to, you know, we'll get too big and we'll need to spill over into another one. So in the kind of winter of 2010, we'll need to research and start that going. But remember the penguin? Those who were there right at the beginning, remember that bit from Wallace and Gromit where they want to catch the penguin. And they're on this sort of train track, but the penguin keeps going left, right, and veering. So they keep laying down one track at a time, following the penguin. So we need to plant another church. We need to do our research, lay our plans, but we need to be ready to go with where the penguin goes. The Lord may open a totally unexpected door that we weren't thinking of. We need to be ready to take it. Suddenly veers off to the left. We've got to be ready to go there. So maybe September 2011. Time for a new plant. The kind of working plan, again, penguins notwithstanding, is every 5 years, if we plant a church, and every church we plant plants a church every 5 years, and we do that for the next 25 years, that'd be brilliant. Why is that funny? You know, I was toying with the idea of doing the maths. I thought, nah. That'd be quite good though, wouldn't it? Whatever the maths is. Someone can do the maths. That's the kind of roadmap. Let's talk about that later after lunch if you've got questions about it. But this is where we're heading towards. Reality is, things will change. But we need to be, if you don't aim at anything, you don't hit anything. But this is where we're going. If we're going to do any of that, we need to be a healthy church, and we need to live as a church in the way that the New Testament talks about church. So what we're going to do now for the rest of this session, we've got about 25 minutes to look at some material in small groups together, to revisit the passages we looked at last year about what church is. We will not be able to do this. We will not be able to grow a church that grows more churches unless we are healthy. So what does a healthy church look like? We're going to look at that in passages in our groups in a moment. And then before lunch, we'll just sort of reflect on, in particular, what does a healthy Emmanuel look like? So I reckon we've got till about between 2:15 and 10:02 to look at those passages that you've got in groups together. Everyone should have a sheet. If you haven't, I've got spares at the front.